At our last meeting, we started this new series on what we've called the Faith Pentagon. And of course, Pentagon only because we are intending to explore five things that God uses to build our faith, grow our faith, take us from faith to faith. Who can remind us of any of the five things? Not all the five. So if someone says one, another person will say another one until we cover the five. So who wants to go first? Anybody that was here last meeting or you caught up on the podcast?
Providential relationships, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of them. Providential relationships. Good. Next, Mr. Damola. I'll be calling the names of those that I knew that were here. Anything you can, you don't have to coin it exactly the way it was coined. So you can use whatever word you want to use for it.
I'm trying to remember. I'm still trying to remember. Medical school stuff has filled my head up.
That's fine. That's okay. Oh, goodness. Agada Milari, were you here? Yeah, I think you were here, even if you didn't talk as such. Can you remember any? Are you able to? I'm not even sure if you're able to talk where you are, by the way. Dylan, I think you were here as well. Can you remember any of the five?
Oh, yeah. I remember
what was it called?
Okay, hold on, Dylan. Let's take Damola for the
pivotal circumstances.
Yeah,
situations.
I kept calling that pivotal last meeting, and it was after the meeting that my wife was correcting me that it's not pivotal, it's pivotal. Okay, all right, thank you. So pivotal circumstances, yes, that's one of the five. Good. Dylan, we were asking about, you know, last meeting, we were talking of five things God uses to grow our faith. So we're trying to do a recap to see how many of those five we can still remember. So I'm like, can you remember any of the remaining three?
Okay, so what were the first two?
So far, Stephen reminded us of providential relationships, or relationships, and then circumstances, pivotal circumstances. Those are the two that have been said, that there are still three more to go. It's okay if you can't remember.
I know how it's a jump question. I just wanted to put us on the spot.
Sister Lioness typed to say books. Yes, but we didn't exactly put it that way. But yeah, that's obviously one of the things that we said. So that will fall under actually what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about practical teaching, so that's one of the five. Let me just put the five in the chat thread again for our consumption and to rekindle or reignite our memories, as the case may be. So practical teaching, providential relationships, private disciplines, so like habits that you, or practices that you imbibe as a Christian, then personal ministry, that's in terms of service, opportunities to serve God in any capacity, in church, out of church, in the community, wherever, and then pivotal circumstances. So those are the five. Of course, there are many things we can zoom in on, and indeed there were many things we zoomed in our meeting last time together. I think Damola mentioned music amongst other things, and that was a very brilliant one. So if you are to look at it, music can fall under practical teaching, depending on the kind of music we're talking about. It can fall under private disciplines. If you've cultivated the habit of always listening to good music, gospel music, you know, as part of your rhythms of spirituality. For some people, a day will not go by without being in the Psalms. And not in a religion. For some people, that's just religiosity. You have to read Psalm 23 when you wake up and before you sleep or something. But for some other people, that's a practice that is making sense to them, that helps them to give expression to whatever burdens are in their hearts and process that with God. So music in that sense, I mean, the Psalms were originally songs, you know, poetic songs in that sense, and they can also fall into that category. So all that's to say, many things we can zoom in on as things that God uses to grow our faith will likely fall into one of these five categories. So, and the categories are more or less fluid. They are not like set in stone. And this is by no means claiming to be all exhaustive. They are just helpful categories to help us to talk through these kind of things. But for today, we want to zoom in on the first one, practical teaching. Practical teaching. But I want us to start out with a question, as is often our style or our approach, to think through a time when the scripture, someone helped make the scripture come alive to you on a particular issue. And then you want to share what that looked like. Because when we're talking of practical teaching, I mean, before we even dive into the practicality or the teaching aspect of it, just in a general sense, of course, we're talking about the Word of God. And every Christian supposedly reads the Bible. Every Christian supposedly claim to believe that this is the Word of God. I mean, if you don't believe that the Bible is God's Word, yeah, you can still be a Christian, but we need to ensure that you stand on a solid foundation in that sense. But in spite of the fact that we do claim that the Bible is God's word, we don't all have the same kind of relationship with it for different reasons. We've heard sermons all our life, for some of us, that you literally grew up in church. Every Sunday, your pastor will preach. But there came a time, I'm saying this as though I'm anticipating that that was your experience, because for very many people that I've shared with or spoken with in counseling or whatever, this has been a recurrent narrative, and it's definitely very much so for myself, that there comes a time when someone unpacks the word of God, whether you're reading a book, whether you're listening to a message, whether you are having a conversation, whether you're in a Bible study, that makes the word of God come alive in a way that can then apply and speak into your situation. And then maybe you've tried it and tasted it and seen that it works. So that's the kind of thing I'm asking us for. When was it? What was the scenario when you felt like someone somewhere, somehow, through one means or the other, helped you understand something about God's word, maybe a particular principle, a particular, I don't know, whatever it could be, that then has stayed with you since then till now? And it's okay if you can't think of any, but I'm hoping that we'll have at least a couple of us that have had such an experience and are willing to share. August Stephen, you're about to unmute, so go on.
Okay. For me, I think I have a list of things I could reference to, but so recently it has been Andy Stanley, so yeah, when it was his series on living with yourself. So over the years, and like I've heard about how Romans 12:1 is a very popular verse that, I mean, you always hear, I mean, amongst youth and in school and everything. So I've memorized it. I've also probably said it one or a few times. Then he got to a point when he was teaching, and he explained that I beseech you in view of God's mercy, yeah, and how he broke it down that it is not like God's way is not really that you have to give yourself so that he can accept you, but in view of the fact that he has accepted you, He has approved you, he has saved you, he has done many things. So in response to that, so for me, it really changed my approach to God, to help me to understand that these are things he has done. And it's not like you owe God anything, but it's something like you are indebted. Yeah, that's the right word. Indebted to him in view of everything. And it's kind of makes me, you know, whenever probably I'm maybe trying to maybe thinking wrongly or probably doing trying to veer, it's kind of tickles in my heart again. And like, hey, you know, in view of, you know, he has done so it's the way he analyzed it really stayed with me, that oh, and the fact that going to verse 2, that you know, sometimes as youth we are scared of maybe God's will and all of that, and how he broke it down, that if you have been faithful, if you have been walking in God's will for too long, you would have gotten to a point where his will doesn't scare you.
You accidentally muted.
Sorry, like you would have the, you know, track record, you'd have lived long enough to know that all his will has always been, you know, for us and not against us. And that has always has changed my perspective to how I see the leading of God and hold on to his word. And thank you.
That's exactly the kind of stuff I'm imagining that we would share. Thank you very much for that. Any other person want to go for it? For those that might have joined while Stephen was sharing, we're on practical teaching today as a faith booster, one of the things God uses to boost our faith. And we are basically just asking ourselves, has there been a time when someone, somewhere, somehow helped you to make sense of the Bible, something in the Bible that became very practicable and applicable to your life? And that's what we're sharing on at the moment. Sister Lioness.
All right. I think for me, it was one of these teachings that I listened to or that I had. All right. So I've known the Lord for many years of my life, but I did not know so much about, you know, the cross in itself. So not that I didn't know about the cross. What is it? Okay, so heritage. Go.
Is that loud? Joshua and Samuel to ministering somewhere upstairs, and I can literally hear them from here.
Sorry. So and it was that time that I needed it the most, because we only just moved away from where we were before, and we moved into Liverpool, and I didn't know how much I was so wounded, and I needed that healing. And that was how I started listening, you know. It was then that the lockdown started. Came into Liverpool just before the lockdown started. Oh my God. So that was how I started. I saw this man. I used to know him in United Kingdom before he went to Nigeria. But then when he now came back, he's still in Nigeria at the moment, but he set up a ministry and stuff. And that was how I came across him on Facebook again. And he was talking about Christ consciousness. And when it is, you know, so in that Christ consciousness, he was talking about what the cross did for us. And that was how I began to see what Jesus did when he went to the cross, and how the gospels are not actually supposed to be the gospels. They are just precursor to the gospel, because Jesus Christ's death is the Jesus Christ's death is actually the gospel and his resurrection. So in fact, he said it to the extent that he said that one of the statements, let me just quickly make it, he said that the lamb wasn't slain because Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve sinned because the lamb was slain. And I was like, okay. So for me, it buttresses the fact that God foreknew and predestined everything, you know, that even in whatever happens to us, he foreknew it. Does he want Adam and Eve to sin? No. But then they sinned anyway. But that doesn't make God reactive in the sense that he was not looking for corrective measures to correct what was damaged. No. Or he was not running around. No. God was already there, prepared. I knew that they were going to, you know. So that was what brought me alive. And that was how he started helping me up again.
Wow. That's... I mean, you can't get it better than getting the cross. That's the foundation for our journey, our faith journey. And so that's, wow. I'm glad the hands are coming up now. Mr. Dorcas, go on. And then Brother Mallory afterwards. Yes, Mr. Dorcas. We can hear you.
Your connection. Or is it just me? Mine is Hebrews 11:1. You don't hear me.
Sorry, go on. I think it's a bit better.
Okay. Okay, that was 2020-2021, and I get to understand the scriptures about faith, and how I could apply it in specific areas of my life. So, one of the things I got that there's a need to
Sorry, we're really struggling to follow. Can you hear me? Let's come back to you in a couple of minutes. Brother Mallory, you can go on for now. Brother Mallory, all right.
Praise God. Yeah, so for me, can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, the practical teaching I would say has helped me to grow or turn me back to God's word or living out God's word will be some of the teachings. I'll first of all start from when I was in the university and when I first got in touch with Kenneth Hagin books. It opened my eyes to what the scriptures is about. Gave me a kind of hunger to know more and how simplified and applicable the word of God is. And love work. There was a particular book I read, not even Kenneth Hagin, it was Don Gozet and E.W. Kenyon. So so interesting. So that book forever changed the way I talk. So affected the way I talk that I could not, I just literally had to, there were words that I did not find convenient using again. It was about the power of your words, how your word can bring healing, how your word can direct your life, how your word can do a lot of things. So it just made me very conscious of words. Mm-hmm. So books have, they've been a way that I've brought out the practical application of God's word in my life. And then the other one that was very significant again for me was diligence and work ethics. And I got that from Bishop David Oyedepo. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing was that, and that was during my IT, and I didn't even know that it was affecting me. I was just listening and just doing my normal internship, and then it was so transforming to my work that I think I got a lot of how how work works for a Christian in the secular or in our daily work. So I would say that diligence, just listening to Oedipo, and it was a time when I used to hear criticism about that. He's just a prosperity teacher. There's nothing, you know. And I believe those things until I started listening myself.
Mm.
And then, wait, are you sure that this person is prosperity teacher? Because all I'm just different from what I've always been hearing. They're saying is teaching. I don't know. And for now in this day, I would say I listen to a lot of Pastor Poju, and Pastor Poju has a way of breaking down the Word of God to see how the Word of God can work in the boardroom, how the Word of God can work in your business, how the Word of God can work in your career, how the Word of God can work in how you relate with others, and we make you when he shared a passage from the book of Job that talks about how your latter end will greatly increase. Is it your latter will be better than your former? I will have dug up that scripture. It's in the book of Job, and then he said, "Pastor, you know that scripture, right?"
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
Yes, he now said the reason why that scripture said that is because just read 2-3 verses downward, you see where he said, go back and ask your fathers, and they will tell you, because you were just born yesterday. So you don't know how or which way you should go. So that is, the lessons from history would actually help you make wiser decision about life. So you are making, so it's more like, yes, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. The only reason why that would be true is because you're making better choices based on the fact that you have learned from the wisdom and the mistakes of those that have gone ahead of you. When you go back to learn from their stories, when you go back and you ask them questions, because nothing that is happening to you is really unique to you. If you would actually ask them, you would actually learn from them. So I would say at different points, at different stages in my life, I've had people who have brought out how the Word of God applies in my daily life. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's really helpful. Is there any other person that wants to share?
Yes, it is I.
Ilan, go on.
So there was this session in church that really helped me. And I think it had to do with Philippians chapter 4. That's what I think that certain session was about. I have Philippians 4 right now. In verse 6, it says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray to God about everything. Yeah. Ask him to help you with the things that you need and thank him for his help. Yeah. If you do that, God will give you peace in your minds. That peace is so great that nobody can completely understand it. You will not worry or be afraid because you belong to Christ Jesus.
Indeed.
Yeah, that helped me a lot.
Mm.
Especially with, just not to worry about anything. Especially when I'm outside. Back then, I used to get anxious. Now, not so much.
That's good.
And yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Dylan. I mean, simple scriptures like that would come alive in a way that even if you've read it many times before, there comes a moment that you just seem to hear it differently, and then it becomes part of your life for the rest of your life. So that's very helpful. Sister Ife?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Pastor. I'm just smiling because it's the same verse I wanted to share. Like in the journey of faith, there are different scenarios, but that 2017 is always a big highlight for me. When we had our IMAS December program at the restaurant, the Chinese restaurant, and the way the game we had, and the way Pastor La explained Philippians 4:6-7, and everyone chipped in one thing or the other, it just gave me peace. I've been reading it for long, but it was different that night. And since then, it just helps me to find this comfort in yeah. him. And as Bro Steven said, whenever I think about it, I just remember his track record. And I'm like, just calm down. So there's this joy that since then, it's really changed a lot about me. It changed how, you know, you don't have to be worried. Just know that he's a peaceful God. Trust in that his will for you. In as much as you have desires, the was it the man in Luke that he was lame and Jesus healed him? Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you will, in as much as Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? He said, yes, but if you will. So yes, I want to, I want this. Yes, I desire this. Yes, I desire that. But your will is just the best for me. And I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be afraid. I just have to ask you. And that has been a change for me.
That's brilliant. Thanks for sharing that. That was one series that also helped me myself. And yeah, it's still very fresh in the very early days of EMAS. So thanks for sharing that. Sister Sheung. Olusheung, not Oluwaseung, because I remember.
It's either. Good evening, sir, and good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So there's this scripture that really made the significant difference when I heard it in this particular way, in a different perspective, was the parable of the 10 virgins. So in the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, the way I used to hear about it initially was, oh, there were 5 foolish virgins, there were 5 wise virgins. Mm-hmm. Maybe something was wrong with the foolish virgins that made them lose consciousness. Mm-hmm. But there was a time I was in church, and the pastor that was talking about that parable just made us, enlightened us on the fact that all of them were virgins.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we could say all of them are spiritual. They've mm-hmm. got same level of spirituality. But when it comes to the following the bridegroom, the mm-hmm. only thing that made a difference is the oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were not following God. They were not obedient enough. They just lack oil.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it signifies the oil as the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
As Christians, it is not just about, oh, I follow the 10 commandments, I don't wish my neighbor, but I love my neighbor as myself, I pay my tithe, all of these bits. There's a place of the oil, there's something that the anointing does to an individual, that when you lack the anointing, you just notice that things are not working well, irrespective of your whatever level of spirituality you think you have, or how so close you think you follow God. Then eventually when I begin to listen to Apostle Selma, he emphasizes on the need for oil as well. There are some things that, in fact, he used to say that it's not just about being Christian alone. You have to have like a balanced life. Why would you call yourself a Christian and you are one of the poorest in your community? No, that is not the life God wants for us. So that's a scripture that messaged me, especially when I had it in another perspective. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sister Damola.
Yeah, I think, there are different things. Different things came to my mind. And I think for me, one of them, it's not like it's the most, but yeah, just picking one of them would be this Dumb Wine song. So I really, if there is one person that I think I know virtually all their songs, it would be Dumb Wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dumb Wine. And yeah, okay, usually when in his songs, there's this stuff he does every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday. So he sings his songs, he plays the piano and all of that, and usually before he starts any songs, he goes back to a Bible verse. And for me, one of the songs would be "Be Still My Soul." So it's the Bible verse that he relates with that would be Isaiah 43:2, The one that talks about, oh, when you pass through waters, it will be there with you. When you pass through the fire, they would not it would not consume you and all that. So I think what it just really, and not just even from him alone. I mean, he's not the only person or the first person I heard that verse from. But then these different people, and he included, yeah, they've just sort of made it much more profound in my head that, oh, he's there with me every step of the way. He sees me every step of the way. He's aware he knows right now that I'm staring at my screen and listening to you guys. He knows when I'm washing plates. He knows when I'm about to step out of my room. And I've just seen that in different ways, like different things that I've had to do, even in terms of like my relationship with people. I mean, the way he just connects me with people, and it just shows that he really knows, like he's super duper intentional about every single thing. And yeah, so I mean, his song, I always just go back to that song. The chorus is, when the ocean rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king of all the earth. I will be still and know your God. And I think for me, the reason why I really just connected was the fact that in the past, yeah, by God's grace, in the past, I used to be really anxious about like a lot of things, because I just want everything to just be perfectly laid out in my head. Like, okay, I'm going to do this at this time. I'm going to be this at this time. But then, of course, things don't always work out the way I planned for them to work out. And then it just shows that, well, regardless of all these things not working out the way they are, I should just be still and know that God is intentional about me every step of the way. There with me every step of the way. So yeah, that's it for me.
Thank you. That's a really good one. I think we've taken everyone that had their hands raised. Dorcas, do you want to give it a go again? Mr. Dorcas, are you there? Okay. What I am?
Yeah, I'm here. I already typed in the chat box.
Oh, have you? All right. Okay. Yeah, I've seen it. Thank you. Sorry, I missed it. So Doka says mine is about Hebrews 13, 1-3. There was a time I couldn't apply faith. I was a victim of fear and didn't know how to receive some things I already prayed for. It was around 2019, 2020, and through a pastor, Olumbo, I was able to understand the application of faith and the place of perseverance and specific actions to lay hold on what God already provided for me. The understanding I got then has been of great help to lay hold on God's covenant and to never pray based on fear. Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay. So what I'm hoping that where I want this conversation to land in light of all these very beautiful experiences that we've shared. On the one hand, I'm wondering somewhere at the back of my mind that why is it, for instance, that every time we listen to a sermon, why is it that it doesn't necessarily have that kind of effect on us? And of course, part of that might be, quote unquote, I'm not shifting or casting blames, but part of that might be on the preacher. But there is also another part to that that actually lies with us. In as much as God has, you know, graced different people in different ways to be able to share God's truth in ways that are like, wow. Could it be that sometimes, I'm just imagining, and maybe this can be another question. Could it be that sometimes we are just after the information, the knowledge? Oh, wow, that was wow. Or that was just there. I didn't really get anything from that message. Or could it be that there is a way we can posture our hearts anytime that we are encountering God's word, whether that is from reading a book or listening to a sermon or participating in a Bible study or in a virtual space like this, to posture our hearts in a way that it's not just about what is being said by whoever is saying it, But being sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to help us glean, or to use the phrase I always use, squeeze the juice out of what is being said in a way that can then be applied or applicable to my life, to my context, to my situation. Some preachers would deliver the message in a way that is almost like they know you are there in the audience and they are speaking directly to, you know, painting all manner of scenarios. And you are beginning to see, oh, wow, that's true. That I can apply this in this way. I can apply that in that way. But some may not necessarily do that. But even when that has not been done, part of what I'm hoping we'll leave this place with in terms of God using his word as one of the primary sources indeed of boosting or growing our faith is to choose to perpetually maintain the posture of a student, the posture of a learner. The point we, or the tagline for this session is practical teaching. But just yesterday I was listening to Pastor Ariogo, and he just made a statement casually. You know, the man makes lots of wise statements as though he's just talking and just skipping over it as though I didn't say anything. But he just mentioned casually that, you know, there is teaching and there is studying. He said, teaching is what you get when someone teaches you, someone delivering the information. Studying is what you do personally, that you yourself are positioning yourself to want to learn. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's true. And so when you sit under a message, or you sit listening to a sermon, or you sit engaging together with friends in a Bible study, or even in an informal conversation, you can intentionally position yourself as a student. That way, it does not end with the information that is being given to you. But a student, one of the key virtues of a good student will be that the person is a good questioner or questioner, someone that asks the kind of questions, someone that probes, someone that wants to know, why did they say it like that? Why is this like this? Why is that, you know, all the whys and what ifs and whens and stuff like that. And one of the questions that I think we want to bring to any opportunity we have to engage with God's word is, how, and so what? How can this apply to me? How can this help me in my context as XYZ? How can this help me in my secular job? How can this help me as a family man? How can this help me as a student? How can this help me, you know, in all the different identities and categories of our reality in that sense. So that's one thing that is going on in my mind. And of course, for those of us that are here, and I know there are many of us here that by one way or the other, we get saddled with the opportunity to teach or to preach or to share the word of God at any level. When you're doing that, one of the good practices you want to inculcate in your preparation is not so much, I want to bombard these people with, you know, all of this knowledge that I've gotten from my personal study, but you are imagining ahead that there will be someone in the audience that is going through this. There will be someone in the audience that may be going through that. There'll be someone that works in this kind of place. There'll be someone like having a premonition, and the Spirit of God, of course, super intends this process. It's the overseer of this process. This is not about how good you are with critical thinking or anything. The Holy Spirit can already, as you are prayerfully preparing, begin to drop these things in your heart, so that when you're preparing with the intention to speak in a way that that person will be able to apply what you're saying. And so when we're sharing together as young people here, I know there are students here. I know there are some of us that are married. I know there is a single mom amongst us. I know there is, you know, all these different mixes and branches that are coming together in the body of Christ, so to speak. I know we are located in different contexts. All of that has its own nuances to how the message will be applied. That's not to say that whatever we share, we want to share it in a way that will tell everybody this is how you should apply it in your own case. But just having that at the back of your mind can also help how you would prepare and how you would go on to prayerfully deliver what God has put in your mind. So that's one. The other thing that's going on in my mind is actually, I think, and of course, I think all of us here have an African heritage. Perhaps I think all of us indeed actually have a Nigerian heritage. And in reflecting on my own experience, both in education and in church, I think that there is this predisposition to wanting to impact knowledge, especially when you are talking of a teacher to student, preacher to listener relationship. There is an emphasis on, let me give you the information. Let me give you the information. You know, many of our lecturers in uni, it's all about bring out your pen and start writing as I dictate, or write on the board, copy the notes. At the end of the day, nobody really cares to know whether you've really, really, really gotten what is being passed across. Of course, I studied microbiology in my first degree, and now I'm not applying anything in microbiology, at least in that sense. But I used to say that, I mean, for a while, I was getting some emails repeatedly. This was a few years back. Of some people that somehow found out the project I researched for my undergraduate dissertation in final year and wanting to publish it. And of course, I kept ignoring the email. But part of the major reasons why I'm ignoring the email without even wanting to take the conversation further is, yes, I got a distinction in that particular dissertation. But even me, myself, today, I can't boldly come and defend what I wrote because I really don't understand, you know, the full gist about what I have presented. Because it's all about garbage in, garbage out. You know what your lecturer wants you to say, and then you say it. But how does that translate in the laboratory? How does that translate in real life? I don't know. But that same kind of learning method, I think we tend to bring it into our Christian experience. And that is what I'm wanting to challenge as we, you know, begin to coast this conversation towards it. Because there's a passage that we're supposed to read and we're going to read it together. I want us to, when we read that passage, if there's anything, I'll give us some time to think about it. If you actually want to open your own physical Bible, you can do that and read it along. But I want you to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you from that passage. Then we'll spend some few minutes to take some contributions in that regards, and then we'll land tonight's meeting. But to double click on the point I was making before, is to say that in our consumption of knowledge, let's not read it off the real gist, which is, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? Once I picked up Is Still Move Stones by Max Lucado. That was the first Max Lucado book I would read. I think that was 2007 or 2006. And for the first time, I felt like I'm reading a book that the author knew when he was writing the book that Joseph Kolawole-Ola will read this book sometime in the future. He wrote it in 92 or something like that. And that was supposed to be like his 10th book or something like that at the time. I'm reading it 2007. And yet it felt like this was written for me. For the first time, I'm seeing Jesus in very practicable ways than all the things I've read in the Bible in that sense. And I'm like, okay, anything this man writes, I'm going to go for it and look for it and read it. Because he speaks my language, if you will. But that's because for him, it's not about, I want to give you all these principles and formulas and to just tell a story. Sometimes a story from the Bible, sometimes a story from history, sometimes a story from everyday life that you can relate with. I can feel like, yeah, I can relate with that. And then from that story and the Bible, it brings down the message. And I'm like, oh, wow. So this is already very much applicable. Because this is how it ties back to the story we're sharing. This is how it ties back to this passage in scripture. So this is how it can tie to my own life and my own context. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. To have an eye for that. So we're not just consuming knowledge, consuming this information. Knowledge puffs up, Bible says, but love builds up. Anyways, I'll stop there. Let's go to the Bible. And then we're going to read that passage together. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 28. I'm going to share my screen. I've put it here in three translations, but feel free to pick up your Bible and read it from any other translation. I had it here from NKJV, The Voice and the Living Bible. Matthew 7, 24 to 28. I'm going to read out loud from the Voice translation, which is the one in the middle colon. Again, as I'm reading and as you are following, if there's anything that is really, you know, tugging at your heart, or something that is jumping at you, or something that you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to slow down and camp around that, feel free to share that with us afterwards. Matthew 7, 24 to 28. Those people who are listening to me, because this is Jesus speaking, those people who hear what I say and live according to my teachings, you are like a wise man who built his house on a rock, on a firm foundation. When storms hit, rain pounded down and waters rose, levees broke and winds beat all the walls of that house. But the house did not fall because it was built upon rock. Those of you who are listening and do not hear, you're like a fool who builds a house on sand. When a storm comes to his house, what will happen? The rain will fall, the waters will rise, the wind will blow, and his house will collapse with a great crash. And with that, Jesus finished his teaching, and the crowds were amazed by all he had said. So I would like us to take a moment with that passage. Again, like I said, you can open it on your end because it's not fitting into one screen here. And go through it. I'll give us a minute or two to do that. If there's anything, particularly a phrase, a statement that is jumping at you, I would like us to share that together and then we'd land our conversation. Okay. All right, it's a familiar passage, I believe. This won't be our first time of saying it or reading it, presume it. So who wants to go first?
Can I say something? I found out that so the same category of situations that happen to the first set to the person who listens, mm-hmm. is the same thing that is happening to the person who does not listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it does not matter who you are. It is the same thing that will apply to us because we are all living, you know, we're all here in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, so like the first set of people that Jesus mentioned were the people who listens and lives according to, if you scroll it down, yes. It says people who listens to me and people who hear what I say and live according to it.
Okay.
So I think the difference between the person who built their house on a rock by the virtue of the fact that they listen and they are living according to that teaching, the difference between both of them is because one heard it and lived according to it. The other one did not particularly listen.
ignored.
So yeah, so the second one, I would have thought that the second one also listened, but did not live according to it. So the same thing will happen to the two categories, but the difference and how they will approach stuff it will be based on the way they are living according to the teaching. And the last verse, which says that, the last two verses, which says after he finished speaking, that they were amazed at his teaching. So again, there's another comparison there, that he had real authority, unlike the way the religious teachers just teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the religious law has teachers too. God's words has teachers too. So, but the difference between both of them is the real authority, according to my own version. Okay. Oh, sorry. It didn't even go into 29. Yeah, sorry.
That's fine. I mean.
So, but I saw that, you know, he was speaking based on real authority. You know, so that was what made the difference for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other person? All right, go on, Sister Ife.
Praise the Lord. So I just want to go back to what Pastor first started with about our posture when we're listening to sermons. So I have, like, a friend of mine would always say that, I enjoy this person's sermon more than this person's sermon. And sometimes I get to think about it. I'm like, okay, how? I'm trying to figure out, how do you enjoy one person's sermon more than the other person's sermon? Is it because the style of teaching? Yes, it's the style of teaching. This person is more practical. This person is more, you know, it's just theory based. But when I look at these two preachers, for me, they are both practical and they are both theoretical when they want to be. But I think sometimes I'm thinking your posture, what you have already put in your heart, going to church or listening to a sermon, you're already having it in mind that this person is better than this person. And it's going to affect every time you listen to the other person.
That's right.
It would not make you take the new, maybe any lesson that is going to apply to you or apply to your situation anytime you listen to that person, because you already have that say in your head. You've already kept it in mind. Yeah. So the posture is very important. If you have that belief in your mind, you wouldn't receive anything. I think we need to understand that we are all growing. The preacher is growing. The audience is growing. Even in class, your teachers, your lecturers, they are growing. They are learning every day. They are learning new styles to teach you. There are new technologies coming out. Someone would learn faster than the other person. Indeed. Because of our spheres of influence is different. So it depends on us, actually. It depends on the preacher and it depends on the audience. The preacher, as you said, Pastor, when you're preparing as a teacher, you listen to the Holy Spirit. You already have in mind, okay, I will be speaking to this person. Or this kind of person would be, they are, as I taught us in school, in uni then, there are some people that love videos. There are some people that love, they don't love videos. They love when you even talk.
Yeah.
So there are different kind of listeners. And you need to understand that there are different kind of listeners and try to see what applies to the other person. But it's going to take a process. And for the audience, you have to also understand these people teaching, they are different. They have their different personality. How does it apply to you? What are you picking from their own uniqueness? You can say that everybody has to be the same. Everybody has to match up with how you are receiving it, like your own language. You have to, the posture has to be different. For me, I just, when I go to church or when I go to class or when I listen to sermon, it's not everybody that speaks my language, definitely. But what? Why did you click on that sermon in the first place? When I say sermon on YouTube, this popular preacher, I forgot his name now. Is it CB Jakes or something like that?
Yeah, CD Jakes.
There was one particular message I listened to that I was like, no, this person doesn't speak my language though. I didn't really understand the, you know, the shouting and everything in the church. But there was this other day that, even if I listened to, there was this other day that I was like, I'm enjoying this. So you need to understand that the days are different, but try to see what is the Spirit saying I should take this particular time, or what am I to receive from this message? Why did I even open this sermon? That's what I encourage my friends to do, and I don't know why I want to talk about it now because it's kind of sometimes saddens me when you compare people. And yeah, that's that. In regards to the passage, what I just see is that every time we listen to someone, there are sometimes what's coming to my own heart is it's not every time that there's this particular teaching that jumps out to us.
That's right.
In as much as even we position ourselves to receive, it doesn't really strike a need. But someday it might strike a need. And that's why it's important that we keep, and I love when the Bible says continue to meditate on it day and night. That is the reason why we have to meditate on it. That is the reason why we have to go back to it every time. We have to keep reading. We have to keep listening. We have to keep here every time. Just continue, because one day it will come alive differently as we started before. What was that verse that just came alive and everything changed? I've been reading Philippians 4:6-7 a long time ago, but that day made a difference. So there will be that particular day, and it's not the preacher that will determine it, and it's not you yourself, but it's just the very day that it should happen, that God wants it to happen. Yeah. Sorry for the long.
Thank you. I mean, you touched on very many things that I think needs to be boldened in that sense and emphasized. One of them would be what you just said, again, almost in passing at the end, the fact that it's not every time that you open the scriptures or listen to a message or read a book, it's not every time that you're going to have all these wow moments and life-transforming, highly impactful encounters. But the thing about God's word is, I mean, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living, is quick, it's powerful. You ingest it and it stays as long as you keep coming back to it. There are many things that I would have read and it might just even be that I encountered with that scripture because I am doing something that is like a ministry responsibility. Maybe I'm writing a devotional for the church or whatever. Not because I'm doing my own personal study. But then eventually, days later, hours later, years later, months later, someone else will say something, and then it's like something that has been hiding somewhere in the crevices of my heart connects with that, and there's a new conference that is going on somewhere in the inner chambers of my heart, and I'm all alone, smiling or just pondering or just wanting to look for the next available opportunity to scribble things down. So yeah, that happens, and that's absolutely fine. Sometimes the faithfulness in you sticking with it and just, you know, maintaining that discipline, and we'll be talking more about that in the next meeting, private disciplines as one of the ways God builds our faith. But that maintaining that practice in and of itself, I think makes a lot of difference. And then the other thing to also say or double click on that you said is the fact that, to be honest, not everybody will speak your language. I mean, for instance, when I first encountered Max Lucado, I used to think that everybody should be reading this man. And sometimes I would recommend the books to some of my friends or people that I was kind of mentoring in a manner of speaking. And I know people that have been honest to come back to me to say that nothing has been more boring to them all their life. This is just an easy way to go to bed in that sense, because again, it just doesn't connect the same way. We have different personality types. Preachers have different personality types. Writers have different personality types. That's why if you have a call to write or you have a call to preach, there's always going to be space for you. Because even if you are saying what everybody has said in the manner of speaking, there is someone that wants to hear it the way you want to say it. And it's going to connect, and the Holy Spirit will leverage on that. So there is that aspect of this. We're not denying that. But we're saying, as part of our regular practices as a Christian, we have this constant, frequent exposure to the scripture. Even if it is the fact that you come to church once a week, and hopefully that's not it. But let's even say it's just that once. There should be something that should come out of it. If this was a preacher's conference or pastor's conference, there would be a different set of emphasis I'll be making. But for us, the best emphasis we can make is to say we want to be doers of God's word. And so that would mean we need to posture ourselves in a way to hear differently. Okay, I don't want to talk too long and too, yeah. Any other person want to share where you go from the passage? Yes, Dylan was saying that, Sister Ifeanyi, you were quoting Joshua 1:8, where it says that this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you meditate therein day and night. That's brilliant. Sister Damola?
Oh, yeah, I think this, what we've been saying right now towards the end, yeah, this Bible verse and even what you mentioned about different preachers and what Sister Ifeanyi also mentioned, I feel like it just solidifies my friend's conversation earlier today. And this is also what I mean when I say God is just really intentional and just aware of everything, right? Mm. So, okay, first of all, this Bible verse, this Bible verses, yeah, I still read them like yesterday because I had to like fill up. I'm preparing for like water baptism in church on Sunday. So like there's this manual they gave us to write different things and stuff in relation to Bible verse. So I still read this verse, but I mean, I just read it well. I read it, but now like it just even makes more sense reading it now again because of the conversation I had with my friend earlier today. And then what we were talking about was how we had a particular webinar, an online webinar. It was about for we students just to help us sort of like de-stress. So to calm us down with true art. So through seeing stuff and just visualizing stuff, trying to make something out of what we are visualizing, writing, yeah, through writing as well, through maybe just listening to our heartbeat, not just even listening to how we breathe in and out and just using our hands to like scribble whatever it is our hands dwells on the paper, just different ways to de-stress, basically. Yeah. Yeah. And then when we were talking, she was just expressing just expressing how limited these things are in comparison to God's word. And the reason why I said it really relates to this Bible verse right now, it solidifies this Bible verse for me, is because it's like the firm foundation, right? That is, it's been built on Christ. And then our emphasis was the fact that these things they taught us, this whole art, expressive art, basically, it's limited because imagine someone that neither has the hands to draw, the eyes to visualize anything, the ears to even listen to a music or whatever. Someone is literally just on a bed not being able to do anything, literally, like, such a person, how do you communicate this expressive act to the person? Like, how does it even make any sense to the person? And then he just, as she was talking, I was just listening, wow, well, this is actually really true, like, going back to the word of God and how this is really the only thing that can really complete us and just perfect a lot of things in our lives. And yeah, so literally that's what happens, right? People who take all these things to heart, forget neglecting the word of God, just taking this whole expressive art thing to art alone. This expressive art can't completely help us with our stress. In the end, we need to go back to the word. Do not be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 verse 6, right? We need to go back to the word to give us that, and that, for God to give us that peace that we need and all of that. So it just really, really connects a lot of these things. And then in line with that, I was just also trying to make her understand the fact that, well, while that is true for unbelievers, because of they are drawn to what they see and what they hear and what they can visualize and all the stuff, in a way, they sort of, these things can help in leading them to this unseen thing, which is the realm, understanding that there is a God, right? There is a God that even if they can't see, his word can help and other things. So I'm just trying to make understand that, well, this expressive art of a thing is still has its place, so we can't completely rule it all out. And as we're talking about it, we now, it led us to talk about different book writers, right? We talked about C.S. Lewis, Andy Stanley, and a couple of other, how they write in different ways. So I mentioned that someone like C.S. Lewis uses analogies, and in a way that would help unbelievers to sort of come from that point of, okay, I can relate with this, and then maybe after they've grown to a level, they can relate more to certain stories that maybe Andy Stanley would use, and even furthermore, they can now relate better with how certain writers will share their faith. I remember Dari mentioned to me about a particular man who gave, yeah, I think Dari is still here, yeah, a particular man who gave a particular amount of money to a lady, and then basically he didn't have the money, and then somehow he got the money, like for a lady that asked him about for some amount. And I mean, that kind of level of faith, it's sort of unbelievable for an unbeliever to grasp. But then coming from maybe a place of analogy from C.S. Lewis and down the line, like eventually as that person grows, hearing that kind of thing wouldn't sound too unbelievable again. So it's like different writers meet us at different points in our lives. And so in a way, like this entire practical teaching we're doing today just really solidifies my conversation with my friend, and even just makes this verse right now like more real to me. And yeah, so it's amazing, basically. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't miss today.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I mean, just last Tuesday, while I went to Oxford for our research day, we always start our lecture days or whatever it is with devotion. And it was something like this that the person that led the devotion did. So after some opening prayers and reflection, she put on a YouTube music, and then we were all supposed to just go and draw something and paint and stuff like that. And maybe because I have a naming to do later in the day, I think I drew a car. I drew a car, and the scripture that came to my mind was out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have ordained strength. Because I drew the car the way I used to draw a car when I was like 5 years old, 7 years old. There's a formula that you just start with a line and three lines in top. And I drew a car as though I was a child again. But where I'm going with all that is to say, again, like you rightly said, it has its place, absolutely. Especially when the foundation for what you're doing, the understanding and the context is being laid on the word of God. One of the reflections we had afterwards was to say, someone pointed out the fact that we didn't read the Bible throughout that devotional period, and that maybe we should, you know, looking back now, make that a compulsory aspect of element of the devotion to say, even if we've done that, let's come back and land it on a scripture. But it speaks to people. I mean, by the time you see the kind of pictures some people drew and the kind of message they got, again, from the same God, from the same Holy Spirit, without opening the Bible verse or whatever. So that's that has got its place definitely for certain kind of people. And I also think there is a worldview issue going on there. The way we've been trained to learn also matters. So for some people, that is at home with them. But for some of us, that's like my church here in Liverpool. Sometimes we worship together with the Church of England on the first Sunday of the month. And there was a time we had a joint service before the pandemic, this happened. And they wanted to have a prayer session, like a session of the service that's supposed to be prayer. And what we were told to do was to write whatever issue, or maybe there's someone you want to pray for, you write it in a particular special kind of paper that once you put it inside a bowl of water, it dissolves. And just watching it dissolves makes you, it's supposed to give you the feeling of the prayer has been answered, the issue has been solved, the matter is no longer in your heart. But of course, for many of us Africans in that mix, we're like, what's all this? We want to call on the name of Jesus three times, shout on Holy Spirit, and let's begin to skabash. You're writing the sickness on the paper and putting it in the bowl. But again, it comes back to the posture of the heart. Where is your heart in doing that? What do you think you're doing? Someone that is coming from their context will also look at all our shouting and like, God is not deaf. Why do you need to scream to pray to God, you know, and things like that. So it comes down to all of those different layers of, you know, what we've been used to, what we are comfortable with. But let's just ensure we are standing on the firm foundation of the Word of God in all of this. So thank you so much for that. Our time is fast spent. Sister Ife, probably our
just last... a quick one, Pastor. I mean, when you are just describing everything, for me, the joy that I see is accepting that difference.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Church of England now and seeing that and just trying to connect, in as much as sometimes you can't even connect that much. You're trying to see, what are they trying to see?
Indeed.
At workplace, you're different from every other person, but you're trying to see, okay, you're just loving them. I think that is the joy of God. That is what He wants us to do. We are so unique. We are all different, and we just want to accept that love. And that's the only way we can connect with unbelievers. Yeah. And also, Pastor, when you're talking about microbiology and all that, it just came to my mind now. Like, there are so many things we've done primary school that we cannot even remember. We're like, why were they even teaching us all those things? And university that you can't even figure out what it is now. But with the word of God, it's just because we keep reading it.
Yeah.
Those things, we left it behind. But the word of God, we continue, and it helps us to actually grow to be doers of it when we really sink ourselves into it and just receive it, and we become the doer. But when you're just reading and you can't see anything, which means you're not really studying, you're not really actually meditating. That's why I love that it's used meditate. Mm-hmm. Meditate is different from just reading it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you will read, sometimes not enter, but you have to meditate on it always.
That's right.
The Bible is wise.
God
the Spirit is of God is wise.
And you. Please, can I just say something to what Ife just said now? And I think it is in that meditation that the inscription, the deep inscription, is done.
Yeah.
Because that is where you have a relationship. That's where you ask questions. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the understanding. That is where you develop your capacity, your strength of character. That's where our characters are developed, you know. So for me, I just love thinking about, you know, whatever that I read, because I don't want a situation whereby I get inside church, I listen to the word of God, and it's like heaven on earth, and it's like the life and challenges is waiting for me at the door of the church. To say, thank you, welcome, good servant. Maybe you have gone into the church. Yeah, welcome. Now me and you for the next 1 week till you come back to that church. No, it should not be like that. Do you understand what I mean? It should come to the fact that you're walking in what you listened to, what you heard. At least for the next couple of days that you have prayer meeting, the next couple of days that you have the Bible study, the next couple of days that you have church again.
Thank you. We need to wrap up. We are past our closing time. But yes, I think it's been a very refreshing session. Through it all, let's come back to the theme, the central theme of, you know, our faith pentagon, how God grows our faith. Remember where we are going to. The purpose for this series is we are acknowledging the fact that by God's grace, we have faith. But we want to, there is always room for growth in faith. The Bible speaks of, you know, faith to faith. Romans 1. And we want to move on to whatever next levels are available. How do we get there? God helps us through these channels. And one of those channels that we are zooming in on today is practical teaching. Emphasis on the practicality from the passage that we read, being a doer of God's word. That's what makes the difference. Obedience makes the difference. It's not about how much you know. It's about what you do with what you know. And that should be what we are taking away. But in order to become that kind of doer of God's word, it speaks to our posture, because you can't give what you don't have, just as you can't practice what you haven't thought about, ingested, received. I was once invited to a webinar, if WhatsApp conferences can be called webinar, a WhatsApp seminar or conference where I was to share on, excuse me, I think the topic I was given was the most important thing in life or something like that. And that was relative, but the way the Holy Spirit zoomed in, what the Holy Spirit zoomed in on to share with them. So I had to first of all go with what the most important thing is. Not the most important thing is not this, is not this, is not this. And then I landed on the most important thing in life is the voice in your head. And what I meant by that is, when you are receiving information, there is always a voice that is helping you to process what you're receiving. So even if you are hearing the most prolific, most whatever, oratory, pro-West speaker or preacher, everything is saying, even right from him, his appearance, there is something already speaking in your head about this person. And everything is saying, something else is talking back about what he's saying. It is that thing that will determine what you do with what you've heard. And so even as I'm speaking now, there is always that second level where it's not just what we hear. Everybody heard the same thing, but we haven't actually listened or heard the same thing in actual sense, because we have processed it differently. And that voice in our head is what I'm emphasizing in this posture, which is actually the voice in our heart, to posture ourselves in a way that we want the Holy Spirit to be the one in charge of that voice. We want the Holy Spirit to be the one speaking, and not just our biases and our prejudices. It's something I do repeatedly that kind of makes my wife like, you started again. Whenever she listens to all manner of podcasts and stuff. Not all manner, but she has all these different channels. And sometimes when I'm listening to what she's listening to and the way the people are talking, I'm just like, these people are just happy at the sound of their voice. I've formed an opinion about them that can't even make me get into their conversation. I'm just like, why must they talk like that? Why must they talk as if they're talking from their nose? Why must they? And on and on and on my criticisms would go. And she'll be like, you are the one that knows. Me, I'm enjoying what I'm listening to and getting something from it. But that's exactly what we're talking about. I've already, by my self-righteousness, so I'm the one that knows how to speak or how to interpret how people are talking as if they are speaking through my vocal cords. I've already set a barrier to how much I can get from that, let alone how much I can apply from what I'm getting. So let's be good students. Let's be people who posture ourselves wherever we get to encounter God's word, whether that's through your personal study or in a teaching scenario or even in a conversation. And when we find ourselves in uncomfortable spaces where we are made to engage with God's word in ways that are different from what we've been used to, we want to maintain the posture of, Holy Spirit, what's in this for me? And how can I, you know, spread the love of God in the midst of all of this. At the end of the day, we don't want to have a great crash. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be people who have not only heard, but people who are willing to indeed obey the words of our Father. And I pray the Lord will help us. Amen, amen, amen. We're out of time. Let's pray. I don't know if there's any question, but if there is, after the prayer, we would respond to it.
There's a chat, sir.
There's a chat. Okay. Have I missed? I think my chats are rearranging themselves. The doing will be natural in his grace. That's the last thing I'm saying there. Am I missing something else?
It's from Dockers.
From Dockers.
Above the Joshua 1:8. So.
Yes, yes. Recently, I got stuck on something, and is that the one? Yeah. Recently, I got stuck on something, and in my asking the Holy Spirit, He pointed this scripture to me with emphasis on the word focus in hearing, in listening, in every form of worship, to the end that you find instructions, what to do and how to do. I realized I had some word I had to sit with, study, focus on, and let the Holy Spirit bring ideas that are saving me from remaining stuck. We can't do without meditation as a posture if we would get results. Amen, amen, amen to that. And of course, that's one word that I think the Holy Spirit has hammered on throughout today, meditation, meditation, because that's actually how we get this practicality that we are talking about. And if I could tie that back to, I know we said we're going to pray now, to Philippians 4 that Sister Ife has been talking about. In that series, we zoomed in on an acronym that has stayed with me forever. CALM, C-A-L-M. Again, this is coming from Max Lucado, so I'm not that brilliant. The C is for celebrate, celebrating God, remembering what He has done before and celebrating Him for it. That's Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. The A is ask. Don't worry about anything. Ask Him about it. Make a prayer of it. That's the A. And then the L is leave it with Him. If you have asked Him, then let Him go and deal with it. Don't ask Him and then still take the bala again and start thinking about it. No, you've celebrated the fact that He has done it before, He's able to do it again. You've asked Him to come and help you. Leave it with Him. Let Him work on it. You stop thinking about it. You stop worrying about it. If anything, start thanking Him about it. And then lastly, the hem, meditate. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is good report, think on these things. So meditate, meditate, meditate. That's how the Spirit of God gets to deposit the ointment for application into our lives. So C-A-L-M, calm, be anxious for nothing. Celebrate God, ask Him, leave it with Him. And meditate. And I think that's actually what our prayers tonight will take. So Father God, we celebrate You. We celebrate Your faithfulness. We've seen it in Your word, page after page. And we've seen it in our lives, again and again. You've brought us through stuff, individually and corporately. And we know that because You did it before, You're able to do it again. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. We celebrate You. And so we ask You to help us, to help the person that needs to be reunited with his family, to help the person that needs to pay that amount that is way beyond his or her capacity, to help the person that is healed, to help the person that has a relative that is yet to know You, to draw them to You, to help those of us that have huge debts on our neck and are wondering, God, how? We trust You and we ask You to help us in our different ways, to help the people that are wondering, what next after this? What next? What do I do? Where do I go? That You order our steps according to Your will. And we leave it all with You. We trust You. And we choose tonight to receive grace to meditate on Your word, to not stop at writing down sermon notes, or to not stop at just scanning and jumping from YouTube sermon to YouTube sermon or podcast to podcast, but that you will actually help us to regurgitate them, to go back to some of these things that we've heard days back, weeks back, months back, and allow your spirit to brood upon them. Find ourselves muttering the words out again and again as you churn them in our hearts, to the end that we may receive grace to apply these principles and thereby move from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, as you have always desired for us. We thank you and we appreciate you. For in Christ Jesus' unfailing name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.